Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome to the FSHD Straight Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thanks for being here again as we have a great guest lined up. It's George Pollack, who is part of the FSHD Society Board, but we're not talking about that necessarily. We're really talking about the other work that he does with FSHD Cycling Team. You can check out their races and donate to the cause that helps the FSHD Society in our community at fshdcycling.com. This is an extraordinary interview. It's quick. I'll give you that. We jumped on quick and made sure we talked about this because he has a big event coming up on the 13th. And as this airs, there's plenty of time to donate, plenty of time to get involved in this event as best you can as George Pollack and his cycling team takes on another amazing event. This event is called, it's actually out of Colorado. It's called the Triple Pass. There's also a double pass or bypass, excuse me, the triple bypass. And so there's also a double bypass as well, but he's taking on the triple bypass. It stretches 118 miles with over 10,800 feet of elevation gain over three mountain passes through Juniper, Loveland, and Vail. And that's what they're going to tackle. It takes only a day, and a host of riders tackle this and get through it in pretty good pace. And I think like in 8 hours or less is really what they aim for. And it sounds remarkably difficult. One thing I wish I would have asked him was about the views that he's hoping to see. I mean, I can only imagine what these mountain passes will look like. So that's where we get deep into. We talk about the, I guess, inception of FSHD cycling, as well as the past events he's done. Years ago, we talked about his Race Across America event that he did from California to, I think it was Maine, perhaps, is where it ended. So basically west to east coast. A host of riders took that on over a course of days. We discussed that and other events he's done up to this one that's going to take place in Colorado on the 13th. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Visit fshdcycling.com as well to donate and enjoy this conversation with George Pollack. So our guest today is George Pollack. He is a big, big contributor to our community here in FSHD community. Is still on the board, right, George, with FSHD Society? Is that accurate?
Yes, I've been on the board since June. Kinoshita recruited me back in early 2016, 8 years ago now.
8 years. Good for her to grab you. She obviously saw the potential.
Found something.
No, and we've had conversations in the past. You're always a great guest, a great person to talk to. Your drive is amazing in helping our community. And you kind of, you know, you put your body out there, George. You know, you don't just talk it, you do it. And you're part of FSHD Cycling. Those that don't know, check that out. We're going to talk about that primarily today. And I guess that's where I want to kind of start. FSHDcycling.com is the website. How did that all start? How did that come about?
Sure. And again, Tim, thanks for having me on the show. You do a great job promoting our situation and advocacy and just keeping it front of mind for a lot of people because it's so important as we get closer to treatments that we think happen, you know, as early as next year. I think my scenario or situation is very similar to many other folks that have this disease. I started showing symptoms in my late 20s, saw a ton of doctors, no one knew what was going on. And 10 years later, when the muscle weakness in my lower legs manifested in my other leg, then I think doctors' light bulb went off and said, well, this isn't from an injury. They thought it was from a bike crash years ago. Okay. They realized that it was that doesn't happen from an injury, that happens from a disease, and finally got the right tests and figured out I had FSH muscular dystrophy. So first symptoms in 96 or 7, 1996, 97. It was diagnosed in December of 2007. So 10 years later. And again, looking back, I certainly had, certainly was impacted as a kid, didn't know it. I was very active, played football, played baseball, pitched in high school, raced bikes for a long time. But looking back, I could, again, similar story to everybody else, I could do 100 push-ups and sit-ups. I couldn't do one pull-up. So obviously the muscles are already affected. You know, I should have been a fast runner. I wasn't because my hamstrings were already affected. So looking back, not that I would have changed anything, but looking back, it certainly was there. And it was a mutation in my family. No one else has had it or has it. So we never knew anything about it. So, you know, once I was diagnosed, you know, confirmed, and then, you know, years later started going public, and then found out about the FSHD Society, and, you know, June recruited me to the board. And as I said, 2016, I had been, you know, bike racing since 2022, you know, just amateur stuff, but raced in college on the club team and then on and off for, I guess, 15 years or so. Stopped mid 05 or so. I wasn't diagnosed yet, but certainly was realizing I had a foot drop and some weakness, and it probably didn't make a lot of sense to, you know, sit in a bike race with 100. I did have an accident in 05 where my ankle gave away climbing and chasing somebody up a hill, and I crashed pretty hard. So I backed off a bit, but it was always an interest. And then, you know, combining the riding and the advocacy and the fundraising, I formed Team FSHD Cycling in 2017. And I'm a big advocate of just movement. I usually use the hashtag movement as medicine. I think, again, similar to a lot of our interactions with doctors, and not to fault them, but, you know, the science and the advice has moved on. And when I say moved on in a positive way, when I was diagnosed in 07, they said, you can't really exercise. There's no cure. Don't do anything. Only ride your bike for a few minutes. Very bad advice. They didn't know, but very bad advice. So I obviously chose to ignore it completely and kept riding and kept doing long stuff. So in 2016, 2017, I decided to form the team. And I also thought that in order to really get the word out, and not to diminish anyone riding 100 miles because it's crazy hard, but we really had to do something that was much more epic just to be able to speak about it and promote it. Because people would look at me and wouldn't even think that I had a disease. If they watch me walk and watch me walk now, it's way worse. Yeah. Both foot drops and, you know, stumbling and fumbling down a sidewalk and tripping half the time and things like that. Bike riding is just easier because your feet are locked in and it's a consistent motion, and I have enough muscle memory where I can do it. So we decided to do the Race Across America in 2017, which that's a race that's gone on for 40 something years now. Started in 1982 with four guys racing from Santa Monica to New York City at the time. When we did it, we raced from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland. This year, they actually changed the finish back to one of the original finishes in Atlantic City, New Jersey. But in any event, I had this crazy idea. I called up a bunch of friends. We did it as an 8-person team, which is the most sane way to do it. A lot of people do it as solo or 2 or 4-person team. So we did it as an 8-person team. We had to then coax and bribe and get volunteers to come support us, because it's 8 riders and 12 to 14 crew, 4 vehicles, 2 RVs, 24 hours a day, someone's riding the bike. So it's a crazy adventure, but we did it. You know, my wife did it. My daughter did it my first year. My father and brother drove. So we did it, finished in 7 days and change, sort of learned a lot, raised a bunch of money, thought I wouldn't do it again. And then a good friend of mine wanted to raise money for mental health. So in 2019, we did it again. 8-person team, did it almost 24 hours quicker, I think, or 18 hours quicker. We did it in 6 days and 11 hours, I think. 8-person team, four returning riders, 4 new riders, some of the new crews, some of the older crew. And so we did it again and raised a lot more money. And, you know, it, with that interspersed some other one-day events and whatnot. And then 2021, we actually did what's called the Race Across the West, which is the shorter version of the Race Across America, We did it with a four-person team from Oceanside to Durango, so 1,000 miles in 2 days. Wow. Seemed shorter than 3,000 miles, but the difference was four people versus eight people. Mm-hmm. The ride shifts are different. The intervals are different. That was way harder for me. I think mentally, I probably got, you know, mentally, I think I had some issues early because it was just record heat and just, you know, I frankly got a little demoralized on a climb. I was climbing for an hour, 8 miles an hour. And I was like, God, this is ridiculous. I should be going a lot faster. And it was just so hot. And then a friend of mine who did it twice got, you said you were flying. And I'm like, well, let me go back and look. I'm like, yeah, I guess I was riding better than I thought I could. It was record heat. It was bad wind. But we knocked it out and finished it in 2 days. And it was another great, you know, experience for us. And since then, I've done, you know, continue to raise money. I've done a number of one-day events. I race Steamboat Gravel, which is a gravel bike race in Steamboat Springs every year. I've done that 3 years in a row, doing that again. Done a bunch of Belgian Waffle Rides, which are these crazy off-road gravel road rides. And I've done the one in North Carolina, the one in San Diego, which is where it started. And then there's a great ride in Sun Valley called Rebecca's Private Idaho. She's a big advocate of fundraising for a lot of charities. Great person. So that's a great event. One of the most beautiful rides I've ever been on in my life, through those mountains out of Ketchum, Idaho. And then, you know, this year we're gonna, you know, I wasn't triple bypass ride wasn't on my list. I've known about it for a long time. We had a gentleman last year ride it for the FSHC Society. His sister is impacted and he raised a bit of some money, and then he couldn't do it this year, and we had the slot, the charity slot, to go raise the money. So Beth called me and strong-armed me into riding it, so a couple of months ago. So here I am. It's next Saturday, July 13th. We've raised almost $13,000 to date, so we've done a good job of raising some more money. I think year to date, or I should say since inception to date, Team FSHC Cycling is closing in on raising, I think, almost $550,000 for the FSHC Society. So, and the money's part of it, but the other part of it is awareness and just advocacy. Because I, my jersey is Team FSHD on the back, on the shorts, right below the shirt. It says hashtag Cure FSHD in really big block letters. So, I have dozens of people on these rides ask me, what is it? They've never heard of it.
Right.
And some of them are doctors and nurses and all over the country. And, you know, they're never heard of it. So it's just good to tell that story. I think people are really, you know, they're interested. They want to speak about it. I one other event we did last year was the 50th annual ride across Iowa called Ragbri. We did that late last July. My wife and some friends did it. That's 500 miles in 7 days. Every day you're riding 50 to 90 miles. And you're out there 25 hours on the bike for that week. So you're seeing, you know, it's tens of thousands of people. And I spoke to a couple, just happened to be doctors, that we were in line getting, you know, water, and talked to them for 15, 20 minutes. And some of them know about it and some of them don't. Some of them want to know more about it. So money is important because we have to fund research and fund our trials and everything else and research sites. But just speaking about it is as important to spread the word, which we're all doing. And it's, you know, more so now. And I think social media with Instagram, Facebook really helps. Now there's folks that follow all of us all over the world. So you become these long distance, I guess in the old day, you wrote letters to people, right? It's a long right. way of a pen pal. You have these almost pen pals all over the country. I've actually met some of them. I was in Milan, Italy last year for the global, for the World Patient Alliance, which was really cool. So just, you know, just getting out and spreading the word is pretty important. And I think, again, back to my original thought here, a theme was movement for all of us. And I don't necessarily call it exercise. You could be gardening. It doesn't matter. You just have to move. You have to move on a consistent basis to the best of your abilities. I'm fortunate. my symptoms and my disease, this disease is moving relatively slow for me. It is catching up. Lifting weights is harder. Sprinting is a lot harder. Some of my friends are beating me now. It's sort of frustrating because I'm like, this shouldn't be going on, but it is what it is. So we have to move. And I always say, and it's on my website, I sort of keep a simple website so people can see it, but sort of my tagline is we have to be able to move to the best of our abilities. So I'm fortunate I can ride a bike. Some people can walk, some people in wheelchairs. But if you look at some folks and they post a lot of stuff on social media, there are folks in wheelchairs that are moving to their best of their ability, whatever that is. If they can lift their leg, if they can work their arms, if they can do two, it doesn't matter. You need to get the heart rate up and get blood flow through your body. The more you can do, the better. Obviously, there's a crossover point that you have to be careful about. I've crossed it a couple of times where you get into a deep fatigue, but you sort of find that balance. And if I don't exercise, it goes the other way. I feel really bad, really lethargic, and almost clumsier walking. I still try to walk a lot and hike, even though it's not the best, even though it's, I got to be careful. But again, movement and using all those muscles and the opposing muscles that aren't weakened yet is just really important for all of us.
And the fact that, yes, you're doing it for charity, but yes, you're doing it also to recognize what FSHD is. I love the fact that those conversations are happening when you're wearing FSHD, Cure FSHD throughout all your gear that you have on. There's a lot of pictures of that, yes, on FSHDcycling.com. You can see that. It is very impressive, though, the undertaking of these rides that, that you're taking on. I mean, these are extraordinary distances. The Race Across America, I remember that. We talked about it then when you did it. It's extraordinary. And the fact that you've done so many other events within that time to the one that we're talking about now more recently here that you're about to attack, and that's the Triple Bypass. Now, with that one, that's 118 miles, and it's also, though, there's the elevation factor, right? This is in Colorado.
Yeah, so this is it's a ride. It's gone on for a long time. There's a couple of time sections on the climbs that I'm not too concerned about, but it's gone on for a long time. The way a lot of these things start, a couple of friends got together and said, let's go do this crazy distance, and it started, and then it blows up to thousands of people. So this is 118 miles. It goes over starts in Evergreen, Colorado. It goes over Juniper Pass, Loveland Pass, Vail Pass. So it's 11,000 feet of climbing, 118 miles one day. So and there's 4,500 people doing either the triple bypass, or there's a shorter route that starts, I think, on Loveland that does the last two climbs, which is the double bypass. So it's a big event. It's very well supported. Folks raise a lot of money for charity for it. Roads are closed, so it's super safe,
Okay, that's
relatively
good.
safe. You got to go downhill 50 miles an hour on your bike, but it's safe. You got to start early because the weather can get bad, and it can rain. Hopefully it doesn't this year, but it's very supported ride. It's still, it's a long day. People out there from sunrise to sunset. I'm hoping to be done in 8 hours or so. Maybe a little bit longer, we'll see based on the climbs, but just sort of get out there, knock it out. These long rides are really about, I call them adventures, because it's really about pacing and being smart about your effort, and nutrition is the most important thing, and hydration. This one's a little bit more challenging because you're at elevation. I think Loveland Pass is at the Continental Divide, it's 12,000 feet. So it starts high, it ends high. So the whole package of being in shape, pacing yourself, eating, drinking, and just paying attention to your body is so important. These are rides, so you can pace yourself. It's a little bit lower key. For example, and again, I just did some amateur hacking racing stuff, but some pretty serious bike racing. I don't think I could finish a 1 hour criterium today, bike racing. That's the difference between an effort racing a bike with 100 people going as fast as you can with hundreds of speed changes from 18 miles an hour to 35 miles an hour. That's a lot different than just being smart about pacing yourself over an endurance event for 8 hours. It's taxing, it's hard, but it's just way more relaxed and enjoyable.
Okay. So it's a little less competitive, are you thinking? Or
this one's less competitive. Yeah. Now Steamboat Gravel, which I do every year, that is a bike race.
Okay.
Again, it's 57 years old. I'm just trying to race against myself and get a decent finish in the middle. But
yeah,
clock starts, clock's on, and you're on, you're going. It's a little different. But this is, again, you got to go to any team. I'm not diminishing this. This is a serious ride. And I just read Triple Bypass has their Facebook page, and some guy, posted, hey, I've ridden a couple days this year. I think I'm going to go hack it out and do it. That's the last thing.
Wow.
Anyone should ever do it, you know, you gotta be smart about what you're doing. That's how you get into a lot of trouble. So you just have to be smart about this stuff. And I've done it enough where I think I know my body well enough. But I'll give you a quick example where you can get into trouble. Last year we did Rag Ride, which is a ride across America, or the ride across Iowa. On the sixth day, which was 95 miles and like 3,000 foot of climbing, and 100 degree temperature, I got finished with that and was not feeling good at all. And I'm sure I had a little bit of heat exhaustion. I had to vomit. And, once I did that, I'm like, I'm not finishing the next day.
Yeah.
And I probably had a taste of illness too, because my wife the next day came down with hardcore COVID. So we were getting sick later. And my point of telling the story is I wasn't super bad. I could have ridden the next day, but, getting that dehydrated, I pulled the plug, which is pretty important. You never want to quit at anything. All these races across America, we finished every one of them. And then sort of a low key ride that was really fun, just ride cumulatively over, 500 miles in 7 days in record heat can catch up to you.
Yeah.
So you have to really be careful. The easiest, they tell you in Island, Florida now, and it's super hot and it's extreme heat, and you just have to think about it, and everyone should do that. It shouldn't preclude you from going outside. You just got to be smart about it.
What's your pre-work then? Like, how long does it take you to prepare for these types of events? If it's a race or something like this, where it's challenging, granted, but maybe not as competitive, but there's still preparation. So what does that kind of look like? How long does that take?
Yeah. So, I typically ride 5,000 miles a year, which isn't a lot. It's, it's enough, 100 miles a week, but it's not linear like this.
Okay.
So I build up, build down, build up. So right now, obviously I've been building up. So I'm close to 200 miles a week right now. So I ride most of the year. We live in Colorado part of the year. So I'm not riding outside of there. I'm on an indoor bike. I can still snow ski. It's not pretty, but I can get down the mountain. I hike a lot. I do, I lift weights. I call it strength training. I wouldn't call it like heavy weights. It's a bunch of dumbbell work. It's a lot of balance work on one leg. It's squats and things like that. It's really more for sort of life than anything else, trying to build strength, which is I don't think I can do. Yoga is so important. Again, I'm hacking my way through it because I watched some folks on the Wahoo Fitness website or Peloton, and we just can't move that way.
No, we can't. Right.
But it's kind of like it's happening. But you try to do it. And a lot of those balance exercises and just stretching or moving your body, it's so important for us with FSHD muscular dystrophy, but if everyone in the planet would just do some of that, we would be way better off. The number one issue right now is lack of fitness, lack of exercise, and it creates all kinds of havoc. People, get lower back issues. A lot of that you're not working out as you get older. You turn the wrong way and you haven't used that muscle in 10 years. Boom, you're done. You're on the ground. Whatever it is, again, movement is medicine. You just have to move. So I sort of build up and then back off a little bit and then build up and then back off. So right now I'm in a big build phase for this, for next weekend, and then Steamboat Gravel, which I want to do as good as I've ever done in a month, and then try to carry that through September, and then sort of pivot latter part of the year, do more hiking. Oh, I'm doing one thing that I missed that we did last year, and we're doing again this year. Again, this is where I think I sometimes need my head examined. But a good friend of mine, Jim, a college roommate, who was one of our crew leaders, and my friend Mars that I ride with a lot. We did a 3-day, 72-hour, 230-mile adventure race last February, called Sea to Sea here in Florida. So that was, you went from the Gulf Coast to the Atlantic in St. Augustine. It was a race, and it was canoeing, mountain biking, and hiking, 230 miles. And we knocked it out. There's a time cut of 72 hours. And again, we're not trying to win it. We just wanted to get it done. And we knocked it out. But that was a test of the limit. We had a 40-mile hike in the middle of that, which took 20-something hours, which for me got pretty difficult. Fortunately, my friends were, and I'm too stubborn to ask for help. So they were helping, you know, the last 10 miles, they're carrying my back for me, wouldn't let me carry it. Yeah. We had to sleep in the middle of the Ocala National Forest in our survival blankets because we just got tired at 3 a.m. You're so tired. There's bear activity in that forest. There's hundreds of them. But at that point, you're so tired, you lay down. And I'm laying down on a bag of food. I'm like, I really don't care if they come get me now. I'm done. I mean, you didn't see any because they're all running away from people. But we're going to do another one in October, which is, I say only, is an 18-hour adventure race in near Ocala. So again, 4-person team. You got to stay together. You got to, go through and punch through and find certain, you got to pull the flags or whatnot. But it's racing, but it's paced and it's camaraderie with friends. And it's just a good way to get outside and enjoy it.
So basically your theme is not necessarily have to do the extreme things that you're doing, but move, right? So whatever that is for all of us in this community, it sounds like that's definitely the theme of it. And not even those that have FSHD. I totally get your point. It makes a lot of sense that exercise is a problem. It's not happening enough, I think, overall as a population. Seeing you though make this example of what our community can do if we put our minds to something, I think that is extraordinary. It's not like you just did the Race Across America and you're like, okay, that was good. I mean, look how many events you've done throughout the time that you've had FSHD cycling. And then you said canoeing, hiking on that other one. I mean, that goes beyond what I know I could do, at least the hiking part. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary.
That was a little challenging, but we just knocked it out. I used poles for balance and we just did it. I think, I think you just have to move. There's a great, there's an author. I don't know him at all, so I'm not really plugging him, but there's an author, Michael Easter. And he's written 2 books called The Comfort Crisis and Scarcity Brain. Mm. And he's got a website. He's created this sort of 2% concept or 2% club. And that 2% club means you want to be in the 2% of the population, which means you go do the hard things. Mm. And he's got this concept of, I think it's an old Japanese term called misogi. Misogi is you do some epic adventure. He actually went on some crazy caribou hunt in Alaska for 30 days and had to hike out with 100-pound packs. But in any event, the concept is find some event that's challenging. And there's really, there's 3 rules to that event. And it's sort of akin to what we've done. One is you have to have a 50% chance of failing or finishing. So it's got to be hard enough.
Hard enough. All right.
2, it's got to be really fun. Right. And 3 is don't die. That's it. You can do whatever you want. So you can do a formal sign up adventure race, or you can hike, 20 miles carrying a 20-pound blocks in your hands. It doesn't matter, but it's that concept of doing something that takes some effort where you got to focus and plan for it. And I love that concept of the 2% club. Just go do what others aren't doing.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that you're trying to beat somebody or it's for you. It's for you to improve your physical, mental, emotional state. These challenges are important, and along with that, you're in better shape, which I think helps reduce a lot of ailments and sickness and whatnot for sure.
Yeah. Even if, right, going back to the point of if FSHD or not, it's still the right thing to do. Also with your mental health, that's also been proven to get more exercise, more movement. I'm guilty of not probably moving enough often enough, or I do too much extreme type things, and then all of a sudden there's not as much. I have to pace myself out a little better.
Yeah, we all do. I think just one, you know, one last comment on that is it's you just have to be consistent. So if you miss a couple of days, so what? You miss a week, so what? Just get back on it and do it. That's because things happen. I mean, I had to miss 9 days for an unforeseen circumstance a couple of weeks ago with family illness. But and at first I'm like, man, this is not good. I got this big ride, and then I just got back on it and forget it. Okay, you lose a little bit, but just consistency over the weeks, the months, the years is what's I think so important. So that, and you know, when we're in our later years, we're still quite young, you, Tim and I, and when we get older, we want to be, when we're in our 70s and 80s, you know, we want to be active. You want to be able to walk, get up, get off the floor, do whatever it is. And that starts when you're, I hate to say it, starts when you're 20.
Yeah.
It just does.
Keeping that consistency, that habit, life's going to be stressful. Life's going to be busy. There's nothing you can do about that, but it's like making the priorities.
Correct.
Like, what are you seeing in your future and what can you do about it now? Consistency is king, right? I mean, that's just, it's good advice. It's good advice. Yeah. And whatever that means to each person is different, and that's okay. They don't have to do the Race Across America or do the triple bypass necessarily ride with George, but you could do something more than what you're currently doing now. I like that. I'm also going to look up the books you talked about there by Michael Easter, you said, right?
Yeah, he's a great one. And Peter Attia is the other one, ATTIA. He's a practicing physician in Austin, Texas, former cardiac surgeon. He wrote, I think it's Longevity. And that's just how you age. It talks, instead of lifespan, lifespan's about how long you live. Healthspan is how essentially how healthy you live.
Nice.
So those are great. Those are great reads. And no one has to go do these big rides, but if they want to come join me, let me know.
So now this is also for charity too. So if people wanted to donate to your ride, how do they do that?
So there's on fshdcycling.com, there's a link to the triple bypass page. The FSHD Society sent a blog out. I think there's a link on the website. So there's several ways to do it. And like I said, we've raised almost 13,000. We've got another week to go to raise money, and it all goes to the FSHD Society. I'm already thinking about next year. There was a brand new race this year put on by the Race Across America, which is called the Race Across the East, which is from Blanchester, Ohio to Atlantic City, New Jersey. It's 630 miles. And I think we're gonna do that again with probably a two-person team or multiple two-person teams. Still haven't figured it out yet. So again, shorter ride, 630, but only two people, which is during the Race Across America with an eight-person team, each person rides 80 miles a day. And then a four-person team, we were riding for Race Across the West, 125 miles a person a day for a couple of days. This will be, 150 to 200 miles per day per person for two people. So, shorter, but individually harder because it's less teammates.
Yeah. Less guys, less riders.
Less riders.
Wow. That's amazing. Thanks, George, for sharing all this with us. We'll definitely take a closer look at donating for sure. That is fshdcycling.com. Click the donate button. It's simple. It's easy. That's part of the purpose of this. Continue to move, I think, is also the theme of this episode today. I admire your work ethic, George. You are a great example for our community. Thanks for doing everything that you're doing for us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your platform here. I think it's so important. And again, and you do it. You lead by example, consistently producing content with our families, which is extremely important because someone has to do it, and you're the man. So thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, happy to do it. I get to meet awesome people like yourself. It's really kind of a selfish payoff, to be honest with you, George.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, sir. Good luck.
All right. And thank you. Safe out there.
So it was great to have George Pollock on. I'm so glad that he joined us. a lot to unpack in a short amount of time, kind of a short episode. We were a little crunched for time to kind of get this on because the event is happening within just a couple days. There's plenty of time to donate at fshgcycling.com, as he talked about. And some of the big takeaways I think I took was movement is medicine. Hashtag movement is medicine is what George uses. And it means a lot to people in our, I guess, community to move. It's difficult. We take it for granted, those that don't have a disease such as this, that moving can be very hard for us. And I know I'm going to get eye rolls when people say, you know, when I say to others, we got to move, we got to get action. I'm sure George, you know, giving us more or less a speech like, you have to do what you can, stay consistent. And there's people out there that are going, oh, come on, give me a break. Like, I just don't have the energy. I just can't do that. Any little thing you can do in a routine, make a commitment to it, I think is key. I'm guilty of not having that commitment. No question. I'll do movements. I'll do certain exercises. It'll only take me so long. Or I'll do yoga. I'll only do it for so long. And then I'm not consistent. I don't have that commitment. So I get it. It's difficult. I blame time or the fact I'm busy between working a nonprofit, hosting a podcast, owning a business, having family and so forth to stay connected with and keep busy with, baseball and so on. All those things do take my time, but I can give it 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour, several times a week. It's not impossible. We have to make time. Now, we don't have to do the extreme movement of doing these type of cycling events, but man, I'm envious of George and his drive and his ambition. So I kind of jump on his coattails a little bit, and his competitive nature of taking on such events and seeing how it all works out in the end, and how did he get through it? The exhaustion, the things he takes on, knowing full well it's going to be difficult for him, but he does it anyway. And with a team of riders with him, if it's from one event to another, is remarkable to me, and the commitment that it takes. It's unreal to me. It's unreal, that kind of physical commitment, especially with someone with FSHD. Now, I'm still able to cycle myself or bike, as I call it. I don't do anything extreme like this, but it is liberating to get back on the road a little bit or on a trail, find a different path to take, see different things. I still enjoy it. It's one of the only exercises that I can do that's really not, you know, overstrenuous on my body. I just have to take care because I want to do things in extreme natures, meaning since I don't have the consistency, when I do the exercises, I want to hammer it out and do it in extreme ways to almost make up for lost time, where consistency would be my better friend. So I hope that was a takeaway for this episode, as we have that great conversation with George talking about that movement is medicine for us. If you were diagnosed early on, you knew that was not the case. They did not tell us to do that. I think that shift has occurred where this is what we need to do. So I'm glad that he came on. I'm glad we could get this in so you have time to participate in that event through donation or see how he's doing. Probably social media is another way to follow his course of action through the triple bypass that is happening in Colorado, and that's on the 13th. So visit his cycling team site at fshdcycling.com. Easy to donate there. Also, please follow the show, rate, review, comment, send me your emails as well at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. As I said, follow the show wherever you find your podcast. If it's Spotify like myself, that I find my podcast on, or anywhere else, please do so. Share with the community. I've had enormous amount of, communication with guests more lately since we've changed the format to this FSHD Straight Talk. I think it's been a great push in the right direction, bringing people out in the community that are affected by this disease. What are they doing in their lives? And getting that story out to you is really my number one goal. And we'll talk science at some point. There's other podcasts for that. This is about the community. This is about the people. Yes, we all hope there's treatments coming. We will keep you abreast of that, of course. If we hear news that we want to share with you or talk about, we'll definitely do that. The pharmaceuticals and like research and so forth, yes. But I'm here to bring the community to this podcast, people with FSHD, how it's affecting us, how do we push forward, similar to George Pollack's episode today. So please continue to follow the show, listen. Find all the older podcast episodes as well are all out there on Spotify and other places as well. And once again, email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Thanks again for joining us for another fun episode. I had a lot of fun talking with George. If you want to be on the show, send me an email. Let's connect. And thanks for listening to FSHD Straight Talk.